Okay, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. I'll never be the same.
Amen.
I done a teaching on that one time, and I wasn't going to do it, and one Sunday morning, I just started on that and went through it. That was good stuff. I'm going to have to do it again sometime. Amen. Amen. We'll start with our foundation scripture for this study. I've been calling your tongue, your words, and your future, but I'm going to start saying our tongue, our words, and our future, because it's everybody's. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 through 37, and then we'll jump forward. You offspring of vipers. Now, not you guys, okay? This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. You offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil, wicked? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things. And the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That strikes you when you think about that. And the more you read that, the more it strikes you. Hey, I need to be careful what I say. And I'm changing not only my now, but I'm changing my future.
Right.
Last week, for 2 weeks, we've been talking about the building blocks to the love walk, and then Mother Talk and Choice. And this is kind of a mixture of two on choice and some other things, revelations and things that God gave me throughout the week. So this is an addition to that, and then we're going to continue into something else. The first area we have to deal with in any situation or circumstance of life is choice. If we don't understand that we have the power of choice, if we don't understand that factor, the value of choice, that's part of who we are, we will never be able to change our future.
Right.
It's amazing to me how many people really believe they have no choice.
Uh-huh.
That's their excuse and what they think of when they get into addictions and problems and issues. They really believe they have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always a choice. We're a creature of choice.
That's right.
The way we're creatures that believe, we're a believer, no matter whether we believe God, we're believing something. We're a creature called a believer. That's part of who we are.
Yeah.
We're a human being, and as part of that creature, human being, we believe.
Yeah. Yes.
We may be believing the wrong thing, but we believe. The same way with choice, we choose to believe. Okay? So we have choice involved in everything that we do, no matter what circumstance or issue of life we may be in. Choice is involved. A lot of ministries don't talk on choice because they believe that they're going to tell somebody something that they're going to get offended by. People don't want to hear that maybe I'm involved in my problem. But the truth of it is, we all are.
Yes, that's right.
Our choices brought us to the good things in life, and it brought us to the bad things in life.
That's right.
Choice is involved from the day we're born, all the way through to the day we die. And we're a product of our choice when we die.
Right.
Okay, so choice is very valuable to us. And if we don't understand it, especially that I have a right to choose. If I understand that, then that gives me a power.
That's right.
Over the circumstances. I may not understand my choices. I may not want to make the choice. Mm-hmm. But I do have the ability to choice.
Yes.
To choose. I always think, every time I talk about choice, I think of Andy Griffith's show. One of my favorite characters in Andy Griffith was Otis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He knew he had sinned. He'd walked in there, and he'd open the door of the jail cell, and he'd pull it shut. Well, where was the keys? He could reach them from inside the cell right there. That always, you know, he didn't have to go there. He put himself in that jail cell.
Right.
And he could have gotten out anytime he wanted to by simply reaching around the door.
Yeah.
But he chose to stay in there, and many of us do that.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us have seen examples where an animal, a dog or something, will have controls put in there, like this electric fence around there where they get shocked, or they'll have a chain that goes so far. Well, for a long time, they're there in that position, but then something happens that chain is removed, or the guard is taken down, and they don't know it.
Right.
They don't know that it's gone, and they'll go up to that point and then come back because they don't know they're free. And many of us are that way. We don't understand that I can choose my destination in life. It's so valuable for us to understand that. We have the right to choose. Everything in our lives, no matter what it is, works by choice. Before, our next step in our study is to go into how to activate God's Word in our life, how to apply it and activate it. But before we can get to that point, we have to understand that what we do is based on choice and that we have a right to choose. Because our choice is what activates God's Word or does not activate it. We are always activating God's Word or the world.
Yeah.
We're activating faith or fear.
Yeah.
We're constantly activating God's promises. Now, there's promises in the Bible that are great. I want them. But there's conditions to them. There's an if, or a let, or a put, or a that, or a therefore. There's all kinds of conditional words built into God's promises. But many of us read right by them. We don't pay attention to them. But there's an if on a lot of promises. But there's good promises in the Bible, and there's negative promises in the Bible. I want to qualify for the good ones.
Yes.
If I don't qualify for the good ones, the other ones are automatically there.
Yes.
For instance, I don't have to choose to go to hell. That choice is made before I was ever born by Adam. The choice is there. I'm on that road until I choose life.
That's right.
I have to choose that. The other one's been made for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Many of our circumstances are related to our upbringing. We have bad parents, or we had situations that we couldn't control in our life, or where we were raised, or an environment we couldn't get out of it, or whatever the case may be. Circumstances and situations we were raised in did have a lot to do with, and other people's choices,
mm-hmm.
have a lot to do with our circumstances of life. But that doesn't change our ability to choose.
That's right.
We can choose to be different, right in the middle of the worst problems and issues of life. I see testimony after testimony, some of them they actually put on the news, where people have major afflictions, missing arms, or one girl I can remember years ago could draw and write and paint with her feet because she was born without arms.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She made something of who she was, where she was at. And you see many people like that that are making a difference in their life. They choose not to be defeated in the circumstances of life and to be brought down by where they're at. Other people have minor difficulties, and they let them rule their life. Well, it's choices they may or may not know that they can do, that they can make. And we need to be an example to those people.
Amen.
Not to say, you dirty dog, get up and move. They may need that eventually, but do that by the Holy Spirit. But there are different ways of approaching those things that the Holy Spirit can teach you how to meet that person's needs and give them a helping hand up, like Peter did at the Beautiful Gate when he reached out and grabbed that man's hand, and he would have never got up into that place. He was born that way.
Mm-hmm.
All of his life he'd been set there by his friends to beg. Somebody came along, hey, I don't have no money. I don't have any silver or gold, but such as I have, give I thee. And he reached out and pulled him up, and strength came. He had an assistance from someone to get up. And then it dawned on him, hey, you know, I'm up. And they were amazed at this, and they blamed Peter for it, and the men he was with. But it wasn't him. Hey, don't look at me. Jesus did this.
Right.
You know, there is help for all of us. There is a hope for us.
Yeah.
We have to choose faith and hope and choose our words. Those choices affect our future and they affect our now. Satan aims at our ability and our right to choose. That's where he aims. That's exactly where he aims. He wants to turn our choices or to deceive us into the believing we don't have a choice.
That's right.
If he can do that, he can defeat us. Not only us, but those around us, we will be preaching that to them by our lifestyle.
Yes.
But when they know where I'm at in life, when they know where I come from, and people know my attitude and the way I behave and the things I do, and then they see that change.
Yes.
And it's not a temporary change. They see me getting up. Then they want to know how they can get up. They may not even ask you, but your life is a witness to them that I can move from this
Amen.
Place. He did it, and I know him. And I was nowhere near where he was, but he got up. How did he do it? They want to know. You're preaching a gospel to them. They got to see it in action.
Yes.
More than just words. I wish I could tell you that I have all of this together and I have it all accomplished and I am Mr. Perfect. But let me tell you, the reason these come up in a minister's life is because he's walked some of it and he's still making those choices. If he doesn't have a we in what he's doing, if it's you, and be careful. I have a habit of saying you, but I'm including me in that you, okay? Because I by no means have this together, and neither did Paul when he said, you know, we're more responsible because we're teachers.
That's right.
I can't say I don't know. I may not be walking it or understand the fullness of it, but I know, mm-hmm. okay? And that makes the difference. But Satan aims at our ability to choose, and he aims at our right to choose. He uses deception, temper, worry, doubt, fear, and other works of the flesh to affect our ability to choose. He tries to use our own choices against us. He understands human emotions. He understands choice. Why does he understand choice? Because he made one he was not entitled to.
That's right.
He made a choice that he had no right to make. He chose that he was going to, he said, I'm going to raise my throne above God's. What happened? He got kicked out. You're not going to go there. Now, Isaiah says Satan had no tempter, therefore he has no redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tempter, therefore we have a redeemer.
Amen.
The difference between man and any other species of being, no matter what it is we have been given God-given right of choice. That's so important. It's so important to our victory. And our,
yes.
Especially when I look back and I see the choices that God himself made where I'm concerned.
Hallelujah.
He didn't have to start over. He could have started over. He even said it a couple of times. He said it to Moses, I'm going to start over with you. And what was he trying to do? He was trying to put Moses in the position of an intercessor and stand on the covenant. That's where he was trying to position him. You know, he knew Moses' heart. What did Moses say? No, you're not. Because of your covenant with Abraham, and he went all through those covenants God made, and he said, you're not going to do that because you said, I can see the smile on God's face. When Moses took that position, because that's where he wanted him to be. Many times that happens to us. God didn't bring the trial. He never brings trials, sickness, disease. He doesn't do that. He's not the killer, the stealer, or the destroyer.
Right.
But he will definitely use it. Especially if we're trying to move out of that. If we're coming to him based on his word, and we'll stand on his word and we choose his word as our anchor, he will take a hold of us and position us and move us. And when we come out of the end of that thing, we'll see his hand upon us, guiding us and leading us and positioning us and turning those things, and we'll be stronger coming out than when we went in.
Amen.
And now Like I talked last Sunday on the God of all comfort, one of those scriptures I used says that he uses our afflictions and problems so that we can minister to others like us that have those same problems. He will position us to work in those areas. I love that. You know, this tactic Satan is very good at. He's very good at using problems and issues of life to convince us that we have no way out and no hope, or to turn our choice. Now, he even used this with Jesus, didn't he? He used that same tactic with Jesus. But notice what the Holy Spirit did in Matthew. I don't have time to go to him. I don't think. No, I don't. I don't want to stop time already. In Matthew 4, 1 through 11, Mark 1, 12 through 13, and Luke 4, 1 through 14, is what the Bible teaches us about what happened when after Jesus was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, the Holy Spirit himself put him in that position in the wilderness. He put him there. One says he was driven by the Holy Spirit. One says he was led by the inner witness or the inner man to go there. What is it? The Holy Spirit. God himself, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus put themselves there because they had to face the problems and issues in life. Well, I always say he had to get Jesus out of Jesus. And many times we have to get Mike out of Mike. Mm-hmm. You know? So Jesus went right into the wilderness, and what did Satan use every time? He used the word every time. He used normal emotions, things that were necessary, like bread. Now he was hungry, but when did he come? Toward the end of the 40 days. He waited till Jesus had been out there for 40 days with nothing. He positioned himself to wait. And he's very good at that. He knows right where we are. We tell him every day what our weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. We tell him every day what our temptations are. We tell him by our actions. Every time that one person comes by us that we remember, we get upset. He bothers us. Well, when Satan sees us positioning ourselves for a victory, he can see that coming. He don't know when it's going to happen, but he can see the change. He can see our maneuvering ourselves to victory. And we may not see it. So he'll send that guy by, or that circumstance by. And we'll respond like we always do. The same way the apostles did. Jesus goes up to the Mount of Transfiguration with three of them. What happened when he comes down? They could not deliver the guy. Could not deliver the man's boy. Why? Because they were in strife with each other, trying to argue about, well, they were arguing about who was the greatest and who was going to take seat number one. They had been in strife. Strife hindered them from their ability to deliver the man, the boy. They had done it before, so it's not that they couldn't do it. Jesus had already given the authority to do it. Jesus' first response when he come down, how long am I going to be with you? And he already had a vision of where he's going. He had his mind set, you know. And now, man, how long am I going to be with you? Bring him here. I can see the frustration. You guys should have taken care of this young man, but you didn't. And later on it goes into teaching why he couldn't. There's no difference. We face the same things every day. We allow those tricks and those things that come our way to hinder our walk with the Lord and our success. And Satan uses them against us. If you've got something that always presses your buttons, someone, a circumstance, a situation, a circumstance, whatever it is, pushes your button, be aware it's being used against you. Mm-hmm. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit to alert you. Watch for that little caution light. She says, oh, go right on through. I don't do that. If I can stop at all on a caution light, I stop on a caution light. Because that's what it's saying. Be aware here. Be alert. Stop. You're going to have to stop here. So I stop on a yellow light. I also sit on a green light sometimes. And yeah. So I did that one time. I didn't see the green light. I just sat. I don't know where I was at, you know, like many of us. And she said, it's green. And I said, I'm honoring the green light. Everybody goes, every leaves when the green light comes on. I'm just sitting here honoring the green light. Good excuse, right? How would you like it if every time you show up, everybody leaves? You know, so what a green light. I don't always stop on a green light, but it was a good excuse. But anyways, here's Jesus. He's being pushed out there by the Holy Spirit himself to face life. And what did he answer with every single time? He said, "For it is written." For it is written. It's interesting to me. Here's the Word, the living Word, the Word. And he's using the Word against Satan. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That his example for us, Jesus is our example. This is the way we're supposed to live. When those problems and issues that push our buttons and turn our path come, we need to be using the Word.
Yes.
That's what he bows to. And that's what he's trying to turn us away from. The Word is always our hope. It's always our anchor. Study those and watch how Jesus managed each one of those. Jesus made a choice each time he was tempted to respond based on and anchored in God's Word. Satan tries to deceive us into believing that we have no choice, no hope, no escape. How many people believe that? They're sending in insane asylums and depression places where they put depressed people. I can think of stress centers and things like that, because they believe they have no choice. They kill themselves because they believe they have no choice. It's sad that here's a created being that God himself made. Many of them, we know people that have committed suicide, that are born again, love the Lord, and were in the ministry, and they committed suicide. Somewhere along the line, they missed it. They lost their hope, or something happened, or they never had it to begin with, never understood who they were in Christ. We need to be receiving, teaching, and learning who we are in Christ, and what this Word is, and we need to be showing it to others and teaching them who they are when we see people like that. If they have this anchor, they'll move from there.
Yeah.
The Word is the anchor for every single issue and problem in life, no matter what it is. This is our manual of life.
Yeah.
It's, as Art knows what I'm talking about, it's a covenant. It's something that God has written and stated and said, "This is my Word." And if we will anchor on that Word and simply believe it and start walking it, making it be the thing that determines the way we speak or don't speak, our actions in life and how we respond to the circumstances, we'll start seeing victory.
Amen.
We'll start moving forward quickly. But he is always aiming at our ability to choose, and he's using deception every time. Did you know, and I thought of this yesterday, did you know that deception was present before the fall of man? That never dawned on me before. There was deception before man fell. Okay, wait a minute. I started to say it was just in the garden, but it wasn't. It was way back there. Satan himself was deceived. He deceived himself, and he also deceived a third of the angels.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's what caused the fall. That's what caused his. The war in heaven and him being cast out was deception. Okay? The other deception was Adam and Eve themselves. They didn't get kicked out of the garden and then become deceived and eat the apple. They were deceived inside the garden before the fall. I never thought of that before. It never dawned on me that there was deception present before the fall. The deceiver was there. He came and talked to Eve, and she was deceived, and she was not accurate on the Word. She said that God said that we cannot eat of the tree nor even touch it. That's not what he said. He said you don't eat of the tree. Didn't say anything about not touching it. So she was deceived, and she deceived Adam. And he had the ability to choose otherwise and say, "No, not in here, you're not. I cast you out." He was at fault more than she was because he didn't take his place.
He had dominion.
He had the dominion. He had the right to say, no, I cast you out. And he didn't. Okay? So, but my point is, there was deception present before the fall of man. That's what brought on the fall. The reason we're sitting here today is deception. And he has not changed at all. He knows it works. He knows he can play on our ability to choose. He knows that. He knows that we're different than he is. That we have a right to choose. And God will honor our right to choose. Right up to hell itself, he'll walk with us. Right up to that gate. And allow us to choose. And honor that choice. And that's... Otherwise, we're slaves. And we're not. We're his children.
Right.
Satan used deception aimed at their right to choose to turn them. That deception put us where we are today. Jesus called... Now, I don't have time to even go there, but I'm going to refer to this scripture. John 8:44. Jesus calls Satan the father of lies. For it says, "For he is a liar himself, and he is the father of lies and of all that is false." That's what the Amplified says. He's the father of lies and of all that is false. Think about that. That includes deception. What is deception? It's a lie. You're deceiving someone. Even if it's a small little deception, it's a lie. And he's the father of it. That's the source of it. Jesus in John 17:17 called God's word truth. So where do we go for truth? This is, I tell people all the time, the sickness and disease and problems you're facing in life are there because of a law. There's a law functioning. Say, yeah, I know that doctor says there's no hope. But God's word says there's always hope.
Yeah.
See, that's a higher law. Now, I'm the one that chooses which law functions. You know, that God will honor the law that I'm choosing. If I choose this sickness and disease and choose the issues and problems I'm going through, if I choose that, he will honor that. It's my choice. But he will continue to try to make me aware of my choice. Laborers will come my way. Sermons will come my way. I'll see other people being delivered. There'll be a lot of things that God will bring my way to help me become aware that I do have a choice. But if I don't make that choice, he will honor my choice. Okay? Because he has to. He's a lover. Mm-hmm. He honors our choice. That's the way he created us. Okay? So, but he will continue to be there for us all the way through. And we can turn anytime we want to. We may not like it. We may not want to turn. We may not want to pay the price that allows us to turn. But he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be there, ready to help us. And I talked about the strengthener last week. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. When we say, I can't go no more, I can choose to draw on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and ask him to assist me, strengthen me, and to guide and teach me, which he will do. The choices, I may not want to make the choices. I may not like them. I may not even think they're related. But if God's leading me and guiding me and I make those choices, I will come out of that place. But he will honor my choice. And the other thing is, he will enforce my choice to the point that Satan has to honor it. If it's based on the word, Satan has to honor my choice. He don't want to. And he'll try to continue to deceive and bring doubt my way. But that's where my battleground is. Okay? So remember, the word is always truth, and it's always a higher law. If I can find a promise and I'm meeting the condition, that promise is mine. We have the right and the ability to resist temptation and deception. Can I take my 5 minutes? Okay, I think I can cover this real quickly. Mother referred to this verse last week, and I want to give you another verse to look at. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God has made a way for us to resist every temptation and deception if we choose to do so. Part of that verse says, with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be able and strong and powerful to bear up under it. There is nothing comes our way that can come our way that is not common to man. It's in the natural realm. We are spiritual warriors. Our warfare is not in the flesh. When I pray, I don't pray very long. I don't have to. I take the promise, I believe it, and I apply it. From that point on, I'm done with my prayer. I'm done. Because I believe God's word. 1 John 5:14 and 15 guarantees me if I'm praying His will, He heard me, yes, and that I have the petition I've asked for.
Amen.
1 John 5:14 and 15. That's my guarantee in prayer. I don't have to pray all day. I don't have to pray 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I take the word of God and I believe it and I apply it. Okay? Now, I cannot change somebody else's will. But I can mess Satan's playhouse up, okay, to where they can come into an understanding. So when I do that, that's the way I pray, because I believe. After I prayed, I maintain. And we'll get into some of that in a couple of weeks. I've got to shut up here. I'm right at my time, but I want to make these quick statements here because we got another jump next week. Remember, He will always make a way. We may not understand the way or want to do it, but He's made a way. Okay? We are the ones that choose love or hate, hope or worry, faith or fear. Satan has, and I said this last week in the sermon, Satan has to turn our hope and faith in God and His Word in order to turn us. He has to turn our hope to worry and our faith to fear before He can turn us. Faith is always in the now. Hope is always future. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now again, hope is not that watered down term that we see all the time and think of. Well, I certainly hope so. That will happen. You're not hoping at all. Hope is based and anchored in something that is solid.
Yes.
It's unchanging. That's faith's destination. It's the blueprint for my faith. When you hear somebody say, well, I certainly hope so, that's not hope, that's doubt. The reason they said it that way is because they doubted it would happen. It's not hope at all, it's perverted. So be aware of that. Bible hope is anchored in His Word. It's solid and it's always future. It's the goal post. It's that beacon that an airline uses when they take off and they set the automatic pilot. They can go to sleep. Some of them do, I understand. But they can go to sleep. And that plane will go right there because it's got a beacon. And that's what our hope is. It's out there. It's solid. It's things hoped for. It's Bible hope. Can't see it, but it's real. My faith activates that hope right now. I see it now. It's mine. Because of that promise that's there. That's hope, okay? So hope is powerful when it's anchored in God's Word. We choose Bible hope in God's Word and faith as an anchor. When we do that, hope becomes our blueprint. Okay? I have to stop there. I wish I could have covered those scriptures because there's a lot of meat in those. And I'm going to tell you again what they are. Next week we'll have our notes. But the scriptures I've used is Matthew 4, 1 through 11, Mark 1, 12 through 13, Luke 4, 1 to 14, John 8, 44. If you're going too close, poor, you fast, you want them, let me know afterward. John 17, 17, and 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Let's pray so we can get out to our service. Oh, precious, loving Father, we thank You for this word today. Thank You for teaching us, Lord. Thank You for hope. Thank You for refining our understanding and cleaning that brain mess up to where we can understand Your word, believe Your word, trust Your word, apply it in our life, and become the children, that you want us to be the pleasing product of your words and of your loving kindness. We thank you, Father, for teaching us. Thank you, Father, for the change in our lives and the lives of those that we impact every day because of the word you're teaching us. Thank you, Lord, for the services that lie ahead, that there will not be one song sung, one word spoken that is not from you, that your Holy Spirit will anoint those that hear and those that minister to be 100% in your will and purpose. We thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles and people's lives changed. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.